Well, these are clearly tense times in the subcontinent. Joining us now to discuss some of the latest developments, Harsh Shringla, India's G20 Sherpa, and also the former Foreign Secretary of India. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. So I'd like you to reflect on something that just come in the last 15, 20 odd minutes, with the Home Ministry asking several states to conduct mock drills for effective civil defense, including operationalization of air raid warning sirens, training of civilian students, civil defense measures. In all your years of experience, do you believe that based on this, that we may now be in a lull before the storm sort of situation with potential military strikes possibly coming up?
Well, Vishnu, it's been 2 weeks since the Pahalgam attack took place. And in this period of time, there's been, several, I would say, strands of thought on when and how the retaliation should take place. I think there's no doubt that there will be retaliation. But increasingly, the sense is that retaliation will be at our own time and our own place of choosing. I think preparedness is an important part of anything that, is underway now. In other words, any actions you take would invite some level of response from Pakistan. You may need to be prepared. And I think it's important for certain border areas to prepare in terms of, blackouts, in terms of having emergency measures in place. But I don't know whether it really indicates that, something is due to happen. I mean, that is an operational decision, very closely held. It could be, soon after we speak, it could take some time. But I think that's the important thing. I don't think we need to give our, adversaries the sort of advantage of a knee-jerk reaction. You know, something happens and you react straight away. You need to think it over. You need to consider it. You need to hit him where it affects him the most. And most important, I think, is a suitable response to that terrorist attack, not only because it's punitive, but also because it's a deterrent for future terrorist attacks. And that deterrent has to be strong enough to ensure that Pakistan does not resort to terrorism again. And so I think that is what our policymakers would have kept in mind, that the nature of our response should be such that it should be absolutely clear that such acts of terrorism does not pay. And of course, that we will do what we have to do, when it best suits us.
In other words, this is not going to be action for the sake of optics. It's going to be something based on sending a strong message to Pakistan and perhaps inflicting serious damage where it counts, right?
Yes, I think so. I think it is a message, of course. It's a message that you don't indulge in terrorism. And if you do, it is going to be at considerable cost to you. That's one. And secondly, of course, is the fact that want to make it clear that there is any scope of any such actions in the future will continue to invite very strong retribution. So it's a question of what how much your response should be, whether it's and how much is sufficient. What is a suitable response? And that is, again, something that we have to consider very carefully. I think we should not think on conventional lines. There are many, many areas that could be a response that could be painful for Pakistan. We've already seen the holding the Indus Water Treaties in abeyance does have a certain amount of impact. Some of our other steps, including stopping all forms of exchanges, communications, I think would have a salutary impact. Including having their defense attaches and others return back home would stop an important source of information. Sending Pak nationals back home, I think, is an important step. But we need to calibrate these decisions and to see what more we can do that can hurt them both in diplomatic and military terms.
I think there's something else that Pakistan needs to be wary of, which is that according to the ratings agency Moody's in a report today, they've said that any escalation by Pakistan would severely damage their economy, it would derail progress, threaten external funding, and strain foreign exchange reserves. India wouldn't really feel much of an impact, other than if we increased our defense budget, something which may happen either way. When one considers escalation, right, possibly a war, possibly something short of a war, Pakistan's economy is going to be hit at a time when it's particularly fragile.
Yes, it's already very vulnerable. I mean, I think Pakistan is clearly, has been and is continues to be at the brink of, economic failure, in many senses, a failed state which doesn't have control over various swaths of its territory, but also, where a lot of its people are feeling the brunt of failed economic policies today. Any further steps in terms of escalation will cost them very heavily. Even the deployment of troops in forward locations is an expensive exercise. To send troops and to maintain them along the border, to keep them in a state of readiness, to provide backup, ammunition, logistical support is very expensive. So Pakistan is going through all of those issues. And I think any conflict will impact on them. But let's face it. I mean, conflict over a prolonged period is not good for anybody. We ourselves have a growth ourselves have a vision for high growth, to become a developed country in the next 20, 25 years. We have to ensure that we are on that trajectory, that this sort of, provocation has to be dealt with, but should not be distracting, that it not only serves to slow down your growth, but also to, in some senses, hyphenate you or re-hyphenate you with Pakistan. I think we have come out of that hyphenation. There is a clear de-hyphenation with that country, and we need to keep it that way. And one of the reasons for the attack also is to say, look, we are here, and, don't forget us. In a certain sense, it's Pakistan's attempt to again equate itself with us, and that's what their endeavor is even globally today, to talk about two nuclear-powered countries on the brink of war, etc. The same story, which I think doesn't hold water anymore. I have absolutely no reason for us to hold back on those considerations.
Mr. Shingla, Pakistan will be a part of a meeting of the United Nations non-permanent members of the Security Council overnight India time. How do you see this playing out in the United Nations, particularly since India seems to have picked up a great deal of support?
Yes, I think Pakistan is using its current membership in the UN Security Council as a non-permanent member, of course, but using that to, manipulate the proceedings of the Security Council. India has, I think, been very active or proactive in reaching out to all members of the UN Security Council. I think the External Affairs Minister has reached out. We've reached out at various levels, not only to the P5, but also to the elected members. I think it's very clear that you need to ensure that your friends in the council speak up for you, ensure that the objectives that you need to achieve through the council in calling a spade a spade, which is an act of terrorism by Pakistan, sponsored by Pakistan through the LET and its affiliates, has to be called out. And I think it's very important to ensure that the council's outcomes reflect the reality. And we do not allow Pakistan to subvert that process that's in. So our diplomacy in the United Nations and otherwise, I think, is very important at this point of time.
President Putin called up the Prime Minister. They spoke about the situation, and Russia has extended full support to India in the fight against terror. Russia has always been a very close ally of ours. We've seen many statements from the United States, not so many statements from Russia, but this call seems to have changed that. How important is Russia's support in this situation?
I think Russia, as a permanent member of the UN Security Council, an important pole in a multipolar world, their views are important. And I think the fact that President Putin has strongly condemned terrorism and stated his support for India in this endeavor in his conversation with Prime Minister Modi is an important signal from Russia. But I think, we have got good support from across the world. There are countries, starting from the United States, President Trump was quick off the block, but then you've had many senior people from the U.S. making statements in support of India's stand with regard to the recent Pahalgam attack. But even countries like Iran have, I think, condemned terrorism unequivocally. And I think that itself is a sign that across the globe, there is support for our stance that terrorism has to be dealt with in very severely.
In fact, the Iranian foreign minister is going to be here on Thursday. Do you believe a country like Iran can have some sort of stake in trying to bring about a peace between India and Pakistan at this stage? Or do you believe that India needs to stick to our belief, which has always been that it's a bilateral issue, we'll sort it out?
No, I think that a country like India does not need intervention or mediation by any other country, be it the United States or Iran. I think that has been made clear to the Iranians from what I can see in terms of various public releases. The Iranian foreign minister has been keen to see, to de-hyphenate his the India-Pakistan angle from his visit. He's visiting Pakistan today, but he's going to fly back to Tehran and then come to India on the 7th. I think, I think our side has made clear to him from what I can see reading between the lines, that his visit has to be seen as purely bilateral, one that that goes into issues that are, of bilateral interest, maybe some discussions on regional and global issues, but there is no scope for any mediation or intervention by any party or partner at this point of time. Iran, of course, is a neighbor of Pakistan. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think we need that level of intervention. We can deal with the situation ourselves, and we have been dealing with this. We know how to deal with Pakistan in a manner that I think will keep them, in the right place.
All right, Ambassador Shingla, wonderful speaking to you. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us.